Okay, so we started learning the Slonim HaRebbe, the Nesivos Shalom's Maamar, introductory Maamar on Kedoshim to you. And I told you yesterday the three words that I think capture what we learned yesterday is that he wanted us to believe that we are a goy shemahuso kedusha, that we are a people whose very mahus, our very essence, is holiness. And it's not, we think of holiness sometimes again as sort of this like extra level of spiritual aliyah that we're striving for. It's not the icing on the cake. It's the very essence of what it means to be a Jew. And he ended off yesterday by painting for us a person who is trying to ascend to the top of a very lofty mountain, and the challenge of making it to the top of the mountain, and the setbacks, and being able to be strong in one's belief that one has the strength to make it to the top of the mountain, and to be dedicated and committed to never surrendering, and to just keep pushing and to keep trying. Okay, so I want to actually begin the first Maamar now, which appears on page 3 of our printout. He ends the piece from yesterday, the introduction, by just pointing out in the name of Rav Moshe Midner, just the last three lines over here. He quotes Rav Moshe Midner, who was a Slonimer Chassid in the late 1800s, early 1900s, third generation Slonimer Chassid, who says that when the Gemara tells us, if you get into a fight with your Yetzirah, in Paga B'cha Menuvel Zeh, Mashcheyu LeBeis HaMedrash. I'm sure we've heard this famous Gemara in Kedushin. If your Yetzirah starts up with you, drag him to the Beis HaMedrash. So the simple pshat is, okay, you know, if you like kind of lost your groove a little bit over winter break, so now it's time to get back into the Beis HaMedrash. But there's a deeper pshat also. And that is, if the Yetzirah comes at you with various techniques, so take him to a Beis Medrash. What happens in a Beis Medrash? What does a Jew do in a Beis Medrash? He says, "Hainu lamakom shedarshin mimenu, al hashba'asov al tachbulosav." A Beis Medrash is where a person learns. So take the Yetzirah to the Beis Medrash. Why do you take the Yetzirah to a Beis Medrash? Because in a Beis Medrash you can analyze the Yetzirah. Beis Medrash is a spiritual science lab. So take the Yetzirah to the Beis Medrash and try to figure out, Yetzirah, how do you always do that? How do you always get me in these different ways? What is the source of your hashpah, your influence? What are your tachbulosa? What are your strategies that you use against me? I want to learn from you. I want the Yetzirah to become like a Rebbe. Because the Rebbe has the ability to inspire the Talmidim to think differently. So the Yetzirah, I want to learn from the Yetzirah. Yetzirah, teach me. How did you come up with these ideas? How did I fall into your traps? Teach me your techniques. And then I want to take those techniques, ve'elu eitzos, yesh la'achoz neged kol inyanav. And then I want to use those techniques against the Yetzirah himself. And that's what we're trying to learn here. We're trying to learn, again, what are some of the pitfalls that Jews stumble in? And why is it so critical that we pay close attention to learn how to rise above it? Okay, so let's begin. Maamar Rishon, HaKedusha Ba'am Yisrael. And again, he's going to begin by highlighting the fact that Kedusha typically falls into two categories. And it's not so obvious that this should be the definition of Kedusha, and let's find out why they are. HaRambam b'chiburo Yad HaChazaka. We know the Rambam wrote a sefer called Mishneh Torah, sometimes referred to as the Yad HaChazaka. Who knows why it's called the Yad HaChazaka? Why is the Rambam sefer called the Yad HaChazaka? Michael Froelich, welcome. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome to the team. Why is it called the Yad HaChazaka? The Rambam Sefer is divided into 14 books. There's 14 sections of the Rambam. Yad is 14. Yud Dalet. So in the 14 sections of the Rambam has a book called Kedusha. Chaver, what appears in that Sefer of the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah called Kedusha? What's in that section? What do you find there? What type of things would you find in Kedusha? Does it talk about the Beis HaMikdash? That's pretty holy. Talks about Karbanos, talks about the Kohen Gadol. What does it talk about in Kedusha? So interestingly enough, take a look. When the Rambam wrote his Yad HaChazaka, Kolol B'Sefer Kedusha, the Rambam included in that section called Kedusha, Hilchos Isurei Bia, the laws of forbidden relationships, Vehilchos Ma'achalos Asuros, and prohibited food items. The only thing that you'll find, take it off the shelf. Look with your own eyes. You'll see. The Rambam's Hilchos Kedusha has the laws of forbidden relationships, prohibited food items. The only other thing that appears there, I believe, is Hilchos Shechita, which is obviously included in the laws of how one eats. Eating and intimacy. And the question the Slonim Rebbe has for us is, why is that called Kedusha? If I wanted to write a book about Kedusha, would those be the only things I talk about? V'tzarech lahavin madua dafka inyanam elu nikraim b'shem Kedusha. Why are these two categories, food and relationships, why is that the essence of Kedusha? Va'od hare inyanam elu heim b'muvan ha'shalili. And more than that, the Rambam starts us off by talking about things that are to be avoided. Prohibited relationships. Prohibited food items. Shalili means in the negative. Talk about Kedusha in a positive sense. Talk about what to cling to. Why is the Rambam defining Kedusha by the things to be avoided? Relationships that are forbidden. Foods that are not to be ingested. Shalo la'avur al isurei bia v'isurei achila. Rambam's saying, don't do this and don't do that. Right? Make sure you're not in violation of forbidden acts of intimacy. Make sure you consume the right types of food, right, and avoid the wrong types of food. V'hachi b'shvil zeh kedusha iskare? Is that really the definition of kedusha? If you wanted to label something as kedusha, is that how you'd begin? V'kadosh ye'amer lo? He's paraphrasing a pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya. Kadosh ye'amer lo? About such a thing would you declare, this is kadosh? A person what? A person who doesn't have a relationship with someone who's forbidden to him? That's kadosh. A person who doesn't sleep with another man's spouse? That's kadosh. A person who doesn't eat pork? That's kadosh. That's the definition of kedusha. That's a life of kedusha. Avoiding things that a Jew is not supposed to be connected to. Uma makor lakach. And what is the source? Again, the Rambam was obviously very sensitive. Even though the Rambam doesn't always record his sources, the Rambam was very, very organized and very structured in his presentation of Torah. So what is the source that these two categories, Shebeiz and Yanim Elu, Heim Bechlal Toar Kedusha, that the title, Kedusha, is associated with these Isurim, Yoser Me Isurei Torah Acherim, more than any other Isur in the Torah? Why does the Rambam not put, don't wear shatnis, don't wear forbidden mixtures of linen and wool, Kedusha? How did the Rambam know that when it comes to food and when it comes to intimacy, that those are the essence, the very essence of the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael? How did the Rambam know that? Yeah, Yaakov Weider, you have your hand up.
Yeah, maybe it's because these two things, A, they have the potential for you to do really bad things, but not just that. You have the potential to do these things in the right way, but not actually be doing them in the best way as an Eved Hashem. But if you're able to actually tap into, like, using them L'shem Shamayim, then it's like a whole nother level of holiness, because it's so easy to use them just for their physical needs.
So you're saying Kedusha is created by taking something which has the potential for not Kedusha, and then elevating it. You want to say that in many ways becomes the essence of what Kedusha is. Okay. So in a certain sense, you're exactly on the target, right over the target. Because how did the Rambam know to call these Kedusha? Says the Nesiva Shalom, well, we have to understand what these things are in their opposite, right? There's two ways to understand something. I could try to look at it and try to understand what it is, or I could try to understand what it's not. It's interesting. When it comes to the sugya called God, right? So can we understand Hashem? Do we know how to define Hashem? How to explain Hashem? In many ways, it's easier to explain what Hashem is not. Right? The Rambam often wrote in this way, of a negative theology, to be able to define God by what he's not. It's hard to say what God is, because I don't necessarily have the words or the concepts to express what Hashem is, but I can say what he's not. So by defining the opposite of Kedusha, I can come to an understanding of what is, in fact, Kedusha. Okay, let's read a little bit further. Achein ha-yesod l'zeh mutzam b'torah ha-kedusha. The answer to this question is found, it's rooted in the Torah itself. Sheb'ha'inyonim halalu koyres ha-torah la'over aleyem b'lashon tumah. It's very clear to us in the Torah that a person who's in violation of these things enters into a world of tumah. So memela, automatically, I can infer that if I stay out of these things, if I stay away from these things which bring a person to tumah, so apparently, I guess I'm in a world of kedusha. Hifucho, the opposite, shalashon kedusha. Tuma and kedusha are opposites. So, for example, let's see some psukim. Number one, biisurei bia, when it comes to forbidden relationships. Ksiv besof parshas harayos, it says, in parshas achrei mos, at the end of the discussion of the forbidden relationships. The Torah says, al titamu bechol eila, do not defile yourself with all of these. Ki bechol eila nitmu hagoyim asher anochi mishalayach mipnechem. Because you're coming to Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem says, I want it to be a holy land with a holy people. I'm driving away the nations who lived with that type of tumah. Vatitma ha'aretz ve'efkod avona aleh. To defile the land, Hashem says, to bring sin upon the land. And Eretz Yisrael will not accept such a thing. Visaki ha'aretz es yoshveh. Taki means to what? To vomit out, to spit out. The land will spit out those who defile it. So Hashem says, I'm trying to get rid of the Tamei nations that are in Eretz Yisrael to make way for Klal Yisrael. So by avoiding these types of Tamei relationships, I guess a person is living a life of Kedusha. V'amru Chazal, and the Medrash tells us, Kol makom sha'ata moitze geder erva, ata moitze bo Kedusha. Wherever a person creates a fence, a geder, a protection, wherever a person shows sensitivity in areas of erva, of arayos, of sexually immoral behavior, when a person guards himself from those things, atamotze bo kedusha, he finds kedusha. Now, Chaver, I want to pause for a second and just think about this and emphasize this. Kedusha is first and foremost in and it doesn't feel glorious, and that's why I want to emphasize this. When a person doesn't do bad things, you don't feel like you're such a great guy, right? Meaning the fact that I don't do things that I shouldn't do doesn't make me such a tzaddik. I don't feel so great. It just means I'm not a lowlife. I'm not involved in unholy things. Being guarded in something is a very holy thing. If you think back to Adam and Chava and Gan Eden, they were commanded la'avda u'lishamra. They were commanded la'avda. There was a sense of positive responsibility in Gan Eden. But for the most part, and for good reason, if you think about what Hashem asked of Adam and Chava, it's mostly don't do. Don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. That's all I'm asking of you. To not do something. And by not doing something, you're living in a Gan Eden. Right? So we often feel, if I'm not doing unholy things, that doesn't make me feel so great. You know, I'm just not a bad guy. It doesn't mean I'm such a great guy. But what the Nesiv HaShalom is telling us here is that no, when a person avoids erva, when a person avoids tuma, he is a kadosh. He becomes a kadosh. Think about it again. Yosef HaTzadik became a tzadik by not doing something. It wasn't anything particularly that he did. It was what he avoided. And therefore, sometimes again, we don't feel empowered by avoiding negative things, right? We feel empowered by if I do something really great, so I feel really great. But if I didn't do something bad, if I avoided doing something bad, that doesn't make me, you know, such a great tzaddik. Yeah, Shai, what do you want to say?
Regarding Yosef HaTzaddik, he had a lot of influence, he had a big taiva to do certain things.
Right.
So if we don't have a taiva for bia or anything like this, how are we so, kedusha, how are we so holy?
Well, again, when we show self-control, right? And that's really what we're learning. The essence of kedusha is that there are things that we're drawn to in this world, right? Again, whether it's food, whether it's relationships, there are things that human nature demands, right? A body craves, a physical body in this world craves. So when a person is able to, and that's what we're going to learn, to direct and to control, and it goes back to what Yaakov was saying before, when a person is able to channel that drive in a holy way. Right, so Yosef HaTzadik has a temptation, okay, like a normal human being, and he's in a situation that is terribly compromised, and it would have been very easy for him to make the wrong decision, and he makes the right decision. So he's a tzaddik. So Yosef, I'm not such a tzaddik. Well, because I didn't succumb to a temptation of being intimate with another man's wife, so now I'm a tzaddik. I'm not a low life. I'm not a low person. But what we're learning here is that no, when a person shows a commitment to guard himself in these things, that is Kedusha. That itself is Kedusha. Okay, let's go a little further. Let's see. Kain v'isurei achila. The same thing is true when it comes to what? Isurei achila. when it comes to prohibitions of food. So of Parsha Shmini, like we find in Parsha Shmini. It says, Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, v'hiskadishtem, v'yisem kedoshim. Interesting, a double lashon. V'hiskadishtem, v'yisem kedoshim. Ki kadosh ani. Let's pause actually for one more second. What does the word kedushin mean in the context of marriage? What is kedushin? Kedushin is what we call stage one of a Jewish marriage. Harei at mekudesh asli. What happens? What happens when the chassan says, Harei at mekudesh asli? To his kala. What is he saying? What is he doing in that moment? You know what he's doing? He's saying that the relationship that I want to develop with my spouse is one of exclusivity. Kedushin means separated, right? Designated. To the point that this relationship is one-on-one to the exclusion of all others. So v'hiskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim, when you're able to separate, when you're able to draw lines of distinction, so that is Kedusha. Ki kadosh ani. Hashem says, because I am holy. Hashem says, I'm one of a kind. Right? I'm in a separate class. So when you isolate yourself, when you pull away from certain things, when you're not open to everything, but you also have your own boundaries and borders, your own place, so that itself is called Kedusha. V'lo titamu es nafsho seichem. Again, this is all in the context of forbidden foods. Do not defile your soul. Or like it says at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, v'hivdaltem, interesting, again, havdala, separation, v'hivdaltem bein ha-behema ha-tahora l'tameya, the ability to distinguish between tahor and tamei, v'lo sishaksu es nafsho seichem b'behema uva'of, asher hivdalti lachem l'tamei. Hashem says, watch out for those animals. Don't eat those animals. Do not eat those types of birds that are considered tamei. V'hainu, so again, says the Nesivah Shalom, we see so clearly, she isure bia v'isure achila tuma ikri, that so often the Torah refers to the prohibited relationships and the prohibited types of food as tuma. And therefore, when a person is guarded in these inyanim, l'chein hanizar mehem kadosh ye'amer lo. And therefore, a person who's careful to avoid these things, if you're not in a world of tuma, you have to say to yourself, I am in a world of Kedusha. I am in a world of Kedusha. It's not that I remain in sort of this neutral zone. Okay, so I'm not Tameh, but it doesn't mean I'm Kadosh. No. What we're learning is that if you're not in the world of Tumah, you are in a world of Kedusha. And that's something that a Jew needs to feel in a deep way and to really be able to celebrate. To really be able to celebrate in a deep way. Now, we still need to understand why specifically these two things make a person Kadosh. Right? Again, he's proven to us that the Torah associates a person who connects to these things in the wrong way as a person immersed in Tumah. But again, I'm still not sure why these two things, more than anything else, generate this intense Kedusha. Okay, Yehuda, what did you want to comment?
So Rebbe mentioned that the Rambam usually employs a negative theology, where we can't say anything about Hashem, but we could say what Hashem isn't.
Right.
Whereas other Rabbanim, I guess, don't speak in the same Lashonos as the Rambam. So, for instance, Rashi, he uses a similar example. I can't remember if he uses Isurabia or Machalos Asuros, but Rashi and the Ramban, between the two of them, they use the same categories as the Rambam, but instead of speaking negatively, they use the other side of it. And the Ramban specifically says Kaddish Atmecha B'Mutarlach, that you should sanctify yourself with that which is allowed, which is really along the lines of what Yaakov was saying, that the Rambam is speaking from the negative side, as Rebbe was saying, the Ramban is speaking from the other side. And one of these last psukim that we have down here on the page is where Hashem says V'hiskadash tem v'yisem kedoshim ki kadosh ani. For the Ramban, it would be a big issue to say what Kedusha is then, because Hashem is saying that He is Kadosh.
Right.
And for us to say what Kedusha, what to do Kedusha, we would be saying something positive about Hashem. So the Rambam, by his own theology, has to say something negative here, because Hashem just called himself Kadosh.
Okay.
Whereas someone else like the Ramban wouldn't have as much trouble there,
right,
and he would just look in the Torah and decide what it's telling us is Kadosh and tell you how to do it.
Right, interesting. And they're both true. Meaning, I didn't read it inside, but if we, you know, again, we only have one of the several essays that he has here. But if you just go back to the paragraph we didn't learn yesterday at the end of the introduction, he says, Mitzvahs Kedoshim Tiyu is going to be Sur Meira, first and foremost, like we're learning today, avoiding negative. And then, like Yehuda was just saying, Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutter, to sanctify that which you're allowed to do, the way the Ramban understands it, exactly what Yehuda was just referencing. Right? Then there's a form of an Aseh Tov, again, a real proactive way of seeking out Kedusha. Right, not just elevating the physical, not just avoiding the negative, but other ways to actually be proactive in pursuing a life of kedusha. So there's different. You're right. There's 100%. There's different levels of kedusha. There's a negative avoidance of tumah, which is kedusha. Then there's being able to sanctify physicality. Then there's other ways to proactively pursue a life of kedusha. So they're all true. They're all absolutely true. And again, they're all fundamental to being the best Jew we can be. Okay. So now, what is it about these two categories that, again, we have the psukim now showing us the relationship between tumah and kedusha, both with regard to intimacy and regard to food, but what is it about these two things that they became, again, that the Torah defines them as sort of that hinge around which all inyane tumah and kedusha revolve? So he explains at the bottom of the next paragraph. Ubir ha'inyan lama toloi toar niskav zesho kedusha b'inyanam halalu. Let's try to understand. What is it about these two categories that they are defined in the Rambam Sefer Kedusha? This is Kedusha. What is it? Mipnei, first and foremost, let's talk about eating. Sha'achila al yada kiyum ha'adam. Again, we mentioned yesterday the concept of yesod, a foundation. You cannot survive without food. It's of necessity in the life of a person. Achila allows for the kiyum ha'adam, for the existence of a person. Mehadam ha'mishava meha'ochal. The blood of your body, which is created from the food that you eat. It sustains you, the nutrients that allow you to exist. Vahadam hu ha'nefesh. Like the Torah says, the blood is the soul. In other words, I can only be alive if I eat. It's something that I have to do. It's critical to my survival. Okay, let's keep going. So that means that when I eat holy food, I eat food in a proper way. When I engage in that full body, you know, activity called eating. Why do I say it's a full body activity? Because it's not just about my mouth. It's just about my digestive tract. It becomes my entire being. It becomes my flesh. So if I do that, if I engage it in a way of holiness, so that my whole being becomes holy. And if, God forbid, I engage it in the wrong way, then, God forbid, my whole being becomes tameh, becomes distant from Hashem. It's so interesting. It's so interesting. Some of you can attest to this. Hopefully not from your own experience, but maybe from the experience of others, or, God forbid, maybe even from your own experience. It is such a clear stepping stone to a person getting involved in a forbidden relationship, when they start to violate the laws of kashrus. What do I mean by that? I mean that I can think of a student I had many, many years ago, who I taught when he was in high school, who unfortunately is living with a non-Jewish woman right now, and I remember I can almost like trace the relationship of the breakdown in inyanei achila, stopping to be. Sensitive to the laws of kashrus, as sort of that first stepping stone to getting involved with a non-Jewish woman. Now you might think those two things are worlds apart. What does one have to do with another? Right? The fact that he stopped keeping kosher, why does that mean that he's going to end up marrying a non-Jewish girl? He's going to intermarry. But there's a very strong relationship between the two. The Rambam is making it very clear to us here. The Torah, in its usage of tumah and kedusha, is very clear. And part of the reason that's so is because, again, when a person eats proper food in a proper way, so his whole body becomes infused with that kedusha. When a person eats in an improper way, he's entering into a world of tumah. And again, even though it might seem like these two, you know, categories of achila and isurei bia don't really have much in common, there's a very, very strong link between the two of them. And I've seen it, unfortunately, many times, that when a person is not careful in one, he becomes not careful in the other. There's a very, very powerful bond between the two of them. So a person's food that they eat makes up their very being. V'chein mekadish atzmo gam beheter. We're not only talking about not eating cheeseburgers, but also there's a way that a Jew eats. There's a way that a Jew is supposed to eat. Now this might, again, seem like a level for tzaddikim, but it doesn't have to be. There's a way that it can be very practical for us. Again, it's something that we engage in very often, and we need to engage in very often. We're not advocating fasting here. We're saying a person needs to eat, and a person should eat. But there's a way, again, to do it in a way of holiness, in a way of sanctity. Right? Shabbos Kodesh, which is our holy day, is a day where we probably eat the most. But it shows that eating can be an act of holiness. And it doesn't have to be a Hasidic Rebbe at a tish, you know, eating with all sorts of kavanas. It could be a Jew who just sits down and when he eats, he makes a bracha in the right way. He thinks about, when I eat, I want to have the energy to be able to serve my Creator. To think about how dependent we are on food, and to be thankful to Hashem for giving us food. All of this is part of creating a spiritual structure of a human being. Achila kazos molida bo dam kadosh vitar. So when a person eats in that way, it creates within him blood, which is pure and holy. His body becomes a holy vessel. Va'az kadosh ye amer lo. And then about such a person, again, we declare, this person is holy. Shekol kiyumo mimekor hakadusha. Because his entire being comes from a source of holiness. Okay, so that's category one. That's when it comes to food. Ukamo kein gam b'isurei bia. The same thing is true when it comes to what? When it comes to relationships. Hamekadesh atzmo shelo lamale ta'avosav v'tshukosav hara'os. When a person sanctifies himself, not to give in, not to satisfy every pleasure and every desire, particularly the ones that are improper, umala osam kiratzon Hashem, and he elevates them as the will of his Creator is. You know what's fascinating, guys? Do you know that taiva is not a bad thing? We think of taiva as a bad thing, desire, right? We use the word. If I put up a poster in YU and said I'm speaking about controlling one's taivos, you would immediately think that means I'm talking about, you know, avoiding negative things. Taiva is a wonderful thing. The Medrash that defines the mission statement of creation, the famous line of the Medrash, says that Nis'ave HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lios Lo Dira B'tachtonim. Hashem had a taiva to have a relationship with this world. Taiva. Interesting. Like, taiva? That's how you want to define Hashem's motivation for creation? Taiva? I thought taiva is like unholy desires. No. Taiva means desire. Wanting to connect. Hashem had a desire. Nit'ave. Hashem had a taiva to have a connection with the lower world. So I was thinking about this the other day, and I don't have it all worked out yet. There's a lot to think about. But we want to be like Hashem. Hashem wants to connect to things that are, so to speak, below himself, right? Which is so interesting. And that's why we have this desire sometimes to connect to things which we know are sort of below us, right? The whole relationship, the whole way that we look at, you know, intimacy, the way that we look at sexuality, we've been trained because of the world, because the world engages, you know, with that category in such a physical way, right? So we look at it as either as you know, physical and unholy, or we look at it as like off limits. The first mitzvah of the Torah is pur avu. The Torah doesn't want, the Kohen Gadol has to be married, you understand? It's so different than a priest who declares a life of celibacy, who chooses to elevate himself by avoiding anything to do with intimacy. Right? Intimacy, kedusha, and sexuality, and pur avu, this is the yesod, this is the backdrop of Kol HaTorah Kula. But to be able to channel it in the right way, to have that taiva, and to use it in a way that brings a person close to Hashem, and brings a person close to the right people in his life or her life, is what it's all about. So again, when a person is makadesh as taivos, when a person elevates them keratzon Hashem, he's mitar umezachech as damo, he purifies his blood, again, that desire that comes from within, that it shouldn't be inflamed, it shouldn't be aroused for an avera, Sha'al yedeize yoredes tuma al damo. Again, sometimes when a person has a taiva, they feel it throughout their body. Their whole body is captivated by an idea, a desire, wants something. When you're hungry, your whole body becomes hungry. When a person has a strong sexual drive, so sometimes they feel like my whole body is being swept up by this desire. And the goal is, again, is to channel that in the right direction. To be able to be ma'ale retichas dama, literally the boiling of his blood. To elevate that drive, that boiling of the blood, l'ratzon Hashem. Mizachech umetar umekadish b'ze esdamo. That again, the blood pulsing through my body should be holy blood. And about such a person, again, kadosh ye amer lo. About such a person, we say to such a person, you are living a life of kedusha. The Shla Kadosh, the holy Shla, the Sefer Shla Kadosh, the Shnei Luchos HaBris, one of the great, important works of Torah thought. The Shla Kadosh says, he writes in his Sefer, Shekasher niftar mirabo marinu Rav Shlomo Zal, when he parted ways with his Rebbe Rav Shlomo, kishahalach l'nesuav, on the way to his chuppah, he was getting married. And his Rebbe said, Rebbe, give me some advice. I'm about to get married, I'm about to start that next stage of my life. His Rebbe said to him the following, Amr lo b'zeh lashon. He told him, I have two pieces of advice for you. If you stick with these two things, if you focus on these two things, then your life will be a holy life. Kadesh atzmecha b'shnei inyanim elu. The Shla HaKadosh was told, sanctify yourself in these two areas. B'kedushas hamaychal, when it comes to your relationship with food, allow it to be a holy relationship. U'v'kedushas hazivug, and when it comes to the intimate relationship between spouses, v'iskadesh b'ma'od b'kedushasam, and learn to make it special, to make it holy, to make it purposeful, to make it something that it's supposed to be. Again, the Torah is not asking us to avoid eating. The Torah is not asking us to live a celibate lifestyle. The Torah, in fact, encourages eating. The Torah encourages intimacy. The Torah wants us to be physically engaged. But there's a way that a Jew does that, and if he does it in the right way, it makes all the difference in the world. V'hainu mishum shebeiz inyanim eilu heim ikare inyanei kedusha shel Yehudi. If you want to be an authentic Jew, you have to learn how to direct these two areas. He brings an interesting Gemara to make his point. Let's go one more step. There's a Gemara in Brachos that says about the Isha Shunamis. When she met Elisha, when Elisha stayed by her home, and she commented, as it says in the Navi, in Malachim Beis, it says that she referred to him as an Ish Kadosh, a holy man. Ish Kadosh over Aleinu, a holy man has come our way, has stayed by us. So the Gemara says, how did she know he was holy? What did she see about him that he was holy? He learned a lot of Gemara. He davened along Shmona Esrei. How did the Isha Shunamis know to say about her guest, this guest, this Elisha, he's an Ish Kadosh, he's a holy man. What did she see? How did she know? So the Gemara says in Brachos and Daf Yud, Mina Yada, how did she know? And the Gemara gives two answers. And you'll see the two answers are exactly these two themes, these two points, these two categories that the Rambam is emphasizing, as the Torah is emphasizing, as the essence of Kedusha. Chad Amar, that's what Ches Aleph stands for. Chad Amar, one opinion in the Gemara is, Shelo Rasa Zvuv Al Shulchano. When he would sit down to eat, a fly would never fly over his table. Right? Sometimes a person is eating, you know, they're sitting, they're enjoying a salad, yeah, and all of a sudden a little fly starts buzzing around. Right? You shoo it away. She says, I noticed that when he ate, even on a hot day where sometimes there's bugs around, there was never a bug that landed on his table. Never landed on his plate. Never flew over his achila. His achila was protected from bugs. Interesting. That's how you knew he was a holy man. V'chad amar, the Gemara says a second opinion. Shelo rasa tuma al mitaso. She said, I never saw any tuma on his bed. What does that mean? I guess that means that, maybe she did his laundry, and she saw that there was never any, he never had a seminal emission, right? She changed his sheets of his bed, and they were never stained from any lack of Kedusha. Okay. Ulechor etzarech bir. So the Nesivos Shalom, the Slana Rebbe says, I don't understand. Mina lehu lechazal shirasa dafka bebeiz in yanim elu. How did the Gemara know to suggest that these were the two things that she saw, proving that that he was a holy man? How did they know that? Where did they know this from? It was a tradition. It was passed down. How does the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud know that when the Isha Shunam says that Elisha is a holy man, that it's specifically these two things? So says the Nesiva Shalom, it has to be. Elamida Amra Balashon Ish Kadosh Over Eilenu, from the fact that she called him a Kadosh, V'ha-Kedusha Tluya Ka'amor Bebeiz Inyanim Elu, and the definition of Kedusha, friends, is these two Inyanim, these two matters. So it must be that the Gemara knew it had to be these two things. Kedusha Mufleges Binyanei Achila. He had such awesome levels of holiness when it came to his eating. Shehigia Adli Dekach. He reached such a level, Shelo Rasa Zvuv Al Shulchano, that he didn't even see a fly flying over his table. Ki Mikor HaZvuv Hu Mikochas HaTumah. A fly sometimes is associated with very unholy things. The Gemara compares the Yetzirah to a fly. So this image of a fly never flying past his plate, never flying or landing on his table when he was eating, is a sign of a person who eats in a holy way. V'chein mashal orasa tumah mitasa, and the fact that she saw no tumah in the context of his bed, again, that represents a certain self-control, a certain holiness in terms of his sexual desires. And therefore, beiz inyanim elu morim ki hu ish kadosh. It's very clear that if the Navi calls him an ish kadosh, it must be that he was guarded in these two areas. Okay? Good? If you have any questions, comments, thoughts. Okay? Let's go one final step. Let's finish up the piece very quickly. V'abiyur, and the explanation again is, as we've explained, eich al yedei zeh sha'adam nizar shalo letame damo. When a person, again, purifies his blood, again, whether it's that drive, that hunger for relationships, that hunger for food, when a person elevates it and uses it in a way of Kedusha, right? So that becomes a life of Kedusha. Again, it's not just avoiding Tumah. And he says, I'll prove it to you from the Pasuk. Let's go back to that Pasuk he quoted earlier, right over here. V'skadishtem v'yisem kedoshim. If you will sanctify, then you will be holy. What's this double lashon? V'hiskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim. V'hu lechor kfeilus lashon. It's a double lashon. Kafel. It's a double expression. If you're holy, then you'll be holy. What does that mean, if you're holy, then you'll be holy? Again, this piece is introducing us to playing defense. The importance of playing defense and how playing defense creates holiness. It's not just avoiding tumah. Avoiding tumah is living a life of kedusha. If you'll just be able to sanctify, if you can separate, if you can hold back, then you're holy. Why are you holy? Is holiness something that you need to go out and find? Or is that your starting point? It says in the Nesivos Shalom, let's remind ourselves, my starting point, I am holy. Ki chelek Hashem amo. I am a portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. V'nishmaso shel Yehudi mitachas le hakavod chutzba. The soul of a Jew is carved out beneath Hashem's throne. V'ein Yehudi tzarech leskadesh. I don't need to actively go out and make myself holy. I am holy. My starting point is I am holy. I don't need to seek out Kedusha. Kedesha tachol alav Kedusha. That Kedusha should come upon me. Ela rak, underline these words, lishmor es atzmo shelo yitame damo asher bekirbo. If I can just guard the holiness with which I was created, if I can just make sure that my blood doesn't become soiled by the world, v'shelo yigarish shemenu al yedeza es hakedusha v'shefa elyon. As long as I'm not yigarish, as long as I don't drive it away by connecting to the wrong things, if I can just stay in a bit of you know, my own dalet amos, if I can maintain the kedusha with which I was created, so then I will be a kadosh. It's not something I have to go out and become. I don't have to seek it out. It's not something outside of myself. It's something very much inside of oneself. And again, if a Jew is able to v'hiskadishtem, if I can, again, like that lashon I said earlier, kedushin, if I can create exclusivity in my relationships, if I can say yes to this and no to that, that's a life of Kedusha. That's an authentic life of Kedusha. Kedoshim tiyu, like I mentioned yesterday, is not only a command, but it's a reality. You are holy, and if you're willing to focus on that, and to be mindful of these things in life, then you'll live a life of Kedusha. And a person will live a life of Kedusha. Okay? So this is these are the two categories, again, which the Nesivos Shalom very correctly identified in the Rambam, and wondered, why are these categories called Kedusha more than anything else? But if you understand the Tumah, that the Torah defines the opposite of these categories, so then you understand the Kedusha that automatically comes upon a person. And again, Achila is something that affects my whole body. Sexual desire is something that affects my entire being. It allows for the kiyum, it allows for the continuity of life. And therefore, if a person uses it in the right way, then a person will be a kadosh. Kadosh ye amar lo. A person will be called a kadosh. Yosef Atzadik became a tzadik by playing defense. In Gan Eden, all we had to do was avoid eating from that tree. We would have lived such a beautiful, holy, and spiritual existence. But we undermine that by not being able to hold back, not being able to show self-control, not being able to refrain. Okay, questions, comments, thoughts?